Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Nomad Royalty, traded on the TSX under the symbol NSR, and now also traded on the NYSE under the symbol NSR. We are chatting with the founder and CEO, Vincent Metcalf. Now, Vince, a couple updates that we're going to cover here, one being on Q3 financial results, and then a few property updates. Let's start with the Q3 results. These were just released back on October 14th. Some of the highlights here in terms of precious metals revenues coming in Q3, you realized $5.1 million, and for the 9 months ended September 30th, you have realized just short of $20 million. That number comes in at $19.4 million. So the company is generating some nice revenue. We've seen some good revenue growth. Vince, take us through where these revenues are coming from and how it continues to show that Nomad is growing here, especially on the revenue front.
Yes, no, thank you very much for having me again. Regarding the revenue, I think one thing to specify that is that that revenue was actually just on the precious metal ounces. And that's one of the main changes for Q3 is that now we also have the impact of Caserones, which is coming in. And so on top of that $5.1 million that came from the precious metal ounces, for the first time, we're actually also disclosing what we've received from our Caserones copper royalty, which was, you know, $3.7 million of revenue since the beginning of, since we've closed that deal during Q3. So that's why they're not reflected in the actual revenue numbers. But it is important to note that we have generated, you know, another $3.7 million in our jeans through that royalty. But with regards to the actual assets, I mean, that's, you know, what's great about having a great portfolio is you have some assets that are doing well, some assets that might be lagging a bit, depending on, you know, what's going on and what are the different dynamics that they're dealing with. And I would say, you know, the quarter was in line, but in general, you know, what really made us kind of, you know, beat some of our, I would say, analyst predictions and whatnot were really that those first results out of Caserones.
Well, Vince, let's dive into Caserones a little bit further then, because let's walk through how you set up this deal. And this is one of the beauty of the royalty model, how what you paid for the asset, what you think the mine life of the asset will be, the payback period, and also that it's in the very exploding commodity of Dr. Copper. Copper, as it goes up, the royalty just becomes more valuable. So just walk us through how you set up the deal and structured it and just how this could shape the company moving forward.
So this was a very interesting deal for us because we actually closed the Caserones deal in two tranches. So we closed the first one in May and then closed the second one in July for a total investment of $50 million. And as you just pointed out, it's a copper royalty. So it's on a very, very large mine called Caserones, which the operator spent over $4 billion to build it. And the interesting thing with that asset is that it still has a 17-year reserve life only. So just on reserves, you're looking at 17 years. If you add resources to that, you're looking at probably three decades of production. So for us, very strategic asset. It started production in 2014, so it's got a very good runway under it already, and really targeting, you know, around 148,000. Tons of copper per year. But when you just pointed out on the payback, and that's where we think, you know, going forward, this asset's going to become very strategic for us, because based on the $50 million that we invested on that royalty, we're looking at possibly getting that payback within the next 5 to 6 years, as we expect to receive, you know, from a conservative point of view, I would say base case around $2 million a quarter from that that royalty. So when you look at precedent transactions within the royalty space, this is, you know, one, probably at the high end in terms of returns and IRRs, and definitely a slam dunk for us.
Now, when it comes to continued revenue from Caserones, I realize that you guys just started to receive this revenue. Are you expecting an increase in terms of mining operations that would grow your guys' revenue quarter to quarter, year over year?
to put Caseronis in context, you know, we've heard of the recent discoveries at Filo del Sol, Jose Maria, Los Herales. All of those three mines or projects, because they're not mines yet, are located within 20 kilometers of Caseronis. So there's an extremely high possibility of seeing increased resources and I would say increased discovery potential at Caseronis as well. And, you know, with copper prices doing what they're doing, for sure, you know, JX Nippon and the operators are will be looking at you know, I would say new targets to possibly increase the throughput. And, you know, they're producing two types of products, cathode and concentrate. And, you know, it's, you know, obviously, they, as I said before, they spent $4 billion. So they're looking to optimize and increase that production over the next few years.
It's always nice, Vince, to see a company spending more money, growing their project, growing their mine length, finding new exploration targets, and the royalty company doesn't have to put any more money into the project to get all that upside. So just another benefit of the business model. Another company that's extending and expanding is Trolius. They had an update just this week on extending the strike length of their project by about 25%. Why don't you walk us through some of that action there on the exploration side with Trolius?
Yeah, I know. It's very exciting news coming out of Trolius. Last year when we bought the royalty, the main basis of our analysis was on this new Southwest discovery. And so far, everything we planned in terms of, you know, looking at that discovery potential has panned out. And so last year they came out with a resource of just under 600,000 ounces on very limited drilling. But since then, they've expanded the footprint of that discovery and just today expanded another 25% to the southeast or southwest, sorry. And what that does is just really increases the strike length and the potential. And since they've drilled that first mineral resource last year in 2020, they've drilled another 40,000 meters. So it's really one of those assets that really keeps on growing. And the great thing about that Southwest discovery is that it's a brand new pit in the sense that Trolius is located on a brownfield area where you had the Z87 and J zone that were previously mined historically. But Southwest is a brand new discovery and very close to surface. So from that point of view, I think we Nomad strongly believe that this will probably become one of the larger pits and deposits in Canada to be developed by a gold developer.
Now, Vince, what are some of the next moves that you're looking for through Trolius here, just to even get to closer to a construction decision? Obviously, they're still growing their resource, but what are the steps of de-risking the project?
Yeah, no, so they released their PA last year. And I think if things would have gone as, I guess, all else equal, gone normal, and they hadn't discovered these extensions on Southwest, they probably would have moved the PA to pre-fees and the fees relatively quickly to get to construction decision, you know, as quickly as possible. But now with Southwest growing and expanding, they've just pushed out the timing for the new resource for first half of 2022. So I think they'll wait to get that, you know, to really figure out what the true footprint of this deposit is. And then they'll advance to pre-fees or maybe directly to feasibility.
Well, Vince, just shifting over to one other partner update that would be good to bring up, and that is Artemis Gold had put out a update to the marketplace on September 13th about their feasibility study on the Blackwater project. I believe they're moving towards the construction decision on this one soon. Just walk us through the royalty you hold on that, what this could mean to the company, and what their timeline is to get that project up and running.
Yeah, so the royalty is one of the newest one in the portfolio. We bought a 0.21% royalty from the prospectors, the original prospectors on the asset earlier in the year. And interestingly, since then we've seen Artemis and the Blackwater project advance significantly. We've seen them get, you know, a project loan facility approved. We saw them complete the grade control drilling, which, you know, obviously increased the confidence from an early mining planning point of view. They also came in with a very large equity offering of 171 million, and just last month came out with their definitive feasibility study. So that project has de-risked significantly over the last 6 to 9 months, which is what you want to see when you buy royalties. And importantly, as you just mentioned, they're targeting kind of Q2 2022 for the start of construction. So this is a very, very large deposit. They're going in with a phased approach. They essentially have four different phases of development that they're looking for. And I would say, you know, especially in the current gold environment we're in, it has a tremendous amount of leverage to gold price. So this is definitely something that, you know, a very large producer will want to have control of. As you may recall, this project used to be owned by New Gold, and it was sold to Artemis to advance basically on its own. But it has, you know, right now a current mine life is 22 years, and that will likely increase as when you look at depth, there's it's still open. So you know, tremendous amount of leverage there, and you know, optionality down the road.
Okay, so essentially we are seeing that internal growth with the royalties that the company already holds, and now cash flow also coming in from that Caserones royalty. But Vince, when it comes to either creating new royalties and streams or acquiring other royalties and streams, the company did announce mid-September that they closed a $125 million revolving credit facility. How's that going to play into the strategy here of growing the overall portfolio?
Yes, so we closed that facility. We also have $25 million in the bank. We did use $50 million to buy Caserones recently. So, you know, our capacity as we stand here is around $100 million US. So very, very well positioned to keep originating streams and new royalties. And that's been the core focus of Nomad since the beginning of the company. So we are, you know, the pipeline is very, very active. We expect to be, you know, delivering some very good news to the market, hopefully in the near to midterm. But, you know, that's really been the core focus of the business is, you know, coming in with newer, you know, new streams, which we want to originate. So we're very, very focused on doing that. And we sure hope to, you know, to announce deals in the midterm.
Well, Vince, just one last thing that I think differentiates you from some of the other royalty companies is the space is the dividend you pay out. So maybe just highlight that for investors that are new to the story and how you are giving some back to shareholders.
Yes, we actually paid our fifth dividend this week. So very proud of that. We've you know, that's something that we highlighted as a to-do list. The minute we went public last year. And it's something that's very core to the value of the management team, and it's, you know, returning constant capital to shareholders and through a very strong dividend. So that's something that for us is very important. So at the moment we pay a 2.2% yield, which is probably double or triple most of our peers if they do pay a dividend. So that's something that for us is core to the business. It also disciplines us in terms of what deals we want to do. We're not looking to add assets that are 10, 15 years out because we want them to contribute to cash flow. And as you could have, as you know, we discussed through Artemis and Troilus, yes, they're development projects, they're exploration projects, but they're within, you know, 3 to 5 years from production. So that's where you're truly able to build per share accretion. And that's something that I think definitely differentiates us versus our peers.
All right, Vince, thanks for this update. A lot of stuff going on with Nomad, and nice to see, again, that continued growth within the assets already in the company's portfolio. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Vince regarding anything inside of Nomad, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get Vince to address those. Vince, appreciate your time today. Thank you for the update.
Thank you very much.